I remember a time when Sally first got this job. I was still a transition specialist at South Eugene High School. And I worked with two teachers who immediately, when something came up and I couldn't answer the question or whatever was going on, even those teachers were like, well, I'm going to email Sally because Sally will know the answer right away. And she was just that go-to person that I guess from that story is that she was accessible because she always answered the phone and got back to them in a timely manner and cleared things up.
Hi, I'm Josh Barber.
And I'm Sarah Statham.
And you're listening to the Oregon Transition Podcast. We are back. The podcast was on hiatus for a couple months, and now we're back with the new co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Statham, and I'm a Transition Network facilitator. Yes, we did take a bit of a hiatus. I would say this has been a long hiatus.
It's been a long hiatus. We had to regroup, and we went back on Zoom, and recording on Zoom went about how you'd expect it to go.
Time with Zoom?
Yes, apparently. Apparently, yes, because I still talk constantly when I'm muted. Today, we have a very special podcast, and we are here to celebrate Sally Simich.
Sally Simich was the transition queen, that's how we like to refer to her, for the Oregon Department of Education. She's been working at ODE for the last 12 years, is a longtime public educator in the state of Oregon. And she just retired at the end of February.
Lucky for us, 2024 was a leap year, so we got an extra day before she retired. But she did retire on February 29th, and we interviewed several people about their thoughts about Sally.
Sally was a really important part in the lives of many, many people across the state of Oregon. And so we thought it would be fun to look back on Sally's amazing career and the impact she has had on so many of us across the state.
So you are going to hear from the following people.
Chris Rita,
Lon Thornburg,
Mary Jo Erickson,
Keith Ozels,
Cindy Cameron,
Heather Lindsay,
Margie Blackmore.
When we sat down to interview them, here's the first question they asked us.
Do they have to be appropriate?
No.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Lucky for you, we only kept the appropriate stories. So this podcast is for all audiences.
Yes, it is. But as you will hear, we all like to have some fun. Throughout this podcast, you will hear from current and former members of the Transition Technical Assistance Network, also known as the TTAN. You'll also hear from Sally herself, who has a few stories that we've included.
Let's hear from Keith Ozels, Director of Oregon Vocational Rehabilitation.
My first memory of Sally was not even a person or a face. It was sort of a story. It was about who this person is. And that came from Jackie Burr, who used to work at the Oregon Department of Education. And she was so excited that Sally was going to be joining the team and being able to continue her legacy and continue to be somebody who really stood up for children and for students with disabilities. And she told me that she was like, this person is the perfect person for this job. She has a long history of being a teacher in a classroom, being somebody who has supported students and families and has a great relationship with FACT Oregon and just has a connection to so many different areas of like what we do in this transition, because I didn't think there could be anybody who could fill the shoes of Jackie Burr. And I am so glad that Sally has been able to do that.
So I'm Sally Simich, and I work at the Department of Education in the Office of Enhancing Student Opportunities. I'm an education specialist, and my 12 years at the department have been with the four secondary, post-secondary transition indicators, which is graduation, dropout, the areas of a transition IEP, and the post-school outcome collection. Yeah, always been. Like, I never moved out of special ed. So not very often can people say they didn't like go and teach regular ed or do something different. I mean, until I became an administrator. I didn't ever. And then I continued to advocate for students with disabilities. Everything I've ever done from the time I started babysitting, my first babysitting job was for our neighbor, and it was for a little girl that had Down syndrome. Everything I've done in my life has been geared towards that. And I don't see me moving away from that even after retirement. I'm hoping there'll be some things that I get connected with, continue to work to advocate for students with disabilities. That's always been my goal, to see them be as successful as everyone else and be included.
In our work, lots of questions come up, or people question maybe some of the things that you're delivering or you don't know the answer to. And Sally, I can text her, I can call her, I can email her, and she is so quick to respond, happy to drop what she's doing, have a conversation, steer you in the right direction. And that's always been something that I have admired her for.
Sally's teaching days began in the 1970s. She has always been looking for ways to include students, to help students find a place of belonging. And she took all of that mindset she had in her classroom to her work as an administrator and her work at the ODE. Sally always is looking to make sure everyone that she is supporting and working with feels included and that everyone has a place where they belong.
Mainstreaming is like being invited to Disneyland and they give you a bracelet and say you're only allowed here, here, or here. Inclusion, full inclusion, is I get to go to Disneyland and I ride all the rides and do everything that everybody else is doing. So teachers saw me running off things in the workroom and they would like, that looks like a really cool activity. Can you share it with me? You know, so there were things that I was involved in as a staff member and starting to be included rather than being excluded, because I felt as excluded as the students did back in 78. People think that when you start to include students, that inclusion is cheaper, and it isn't. If you're doing it right, it's probably more expensive because you need the support there until a student doesn't need that support any longer. Then you can move on to the next student that would need that support. And I think oftentimes we put people in there without the teacher having the support, the student having the support, and people understanding the students. And that's where we start to see that things don't work as well as they should.
Nurturing part of Sally is such a big piece to, I think, that brought unity to our team. And when I say team, I'm not just talking TNFs and TTAN, but like OSTC and all of the teams that we're all part of, that Sally leads with caring and nurturing, but at the same time, she is assertive and knowledgeable and an expert. And like all of those characteristics just make for the person that you want to turn towards. And that level of support is rare.
I remember the first time I met Sally. She came to the Centennial Transition Center and I wasn't quite sure who she was. You know, sometimes when you're a teacher, there's people contacting you about things and coming and going. And she swept through that front door and immediately commanded the room. And I was in awe. Who is she? She spoke clearly. She spoke kindly. She answered questions that I didn't even know I had. She just took time with me and then made sure to know that I could reach back out to her and connect with her at any time. And then the next time I saw her, she remembered who I was, which was really meaningful to me. Sometimes when you're a teacher, you can just feel like one of the many, you're just another teacher. Sometimes it feels that way. But she remembered who I was. She remembered the work that I was trying to do. It has stuck with me forever.
She has inspired me to keep traveling. If Sally can travel the whole state, I can travel my little corner. So I appreciate her. She mentored me in a way of life balance, of making sure that your work is taken care of, but yourself and your family is also equally within that part. So making sure we have a great balance. She always asks how the family is doing. And I find that very important. But a group is only as good as the leaders. And the dynamic that she gives our positions within our group is absolutely phenomenal. And I know I couldn't have done my job as well without the support that she has given to me in creating this position that was new across the state.
So far on this podcast, you've heard from Mary Jo Erickson, Keith Ozels, Margie Blackmore, Chris Rita, and Donna Lowry. And they all talk about how Sally is available, how she's always able to answer any questions. Let's hear from Sally herself regarding lessons she's learned in her career.
Well, student voice and choice is huge for me. The more I've worked with students that have left school, or even some of my past students I'm watching on Facebook, I think how many times I made decisions and didn't ask for feedback from a student, or I worked only with the parent and not the student. And that's one of my biggest pieces of transition I would champion, that nothing should be done without student voice and choice, because we all want to be included in our plans. We all want to make decisions based on our future. And if we're not allowed to do that, we seem to be not very successful at what we do.
The thing that I feel like around Sally is she's kind of like a mom, and I'm retiring, but she's retiring before me officially. And yet, although we're not that far apart in age, she's taken me aside sometimes. Are you okay? And, you know, she's kind of a mom figure or a big sister figure to me in many ways. And that's one of the things that's made her someone easy to trust and follow because of that side of her. And I've always appreciated that about her.
We put a lot of barriers in front of ourselves as adults. Students see a way and we don't. You know, we think of the money, or we think of the time, or we think of something that's going to stop us from being able to do something. And I feel like they're creative, they're thoughtful, and they will think through things with us. And I think our adult voice has to stop and say, let's listen, let's gather this, and let's see how we can actually do this.
It's almost like if Sally's coming in the room with a mission, especially around serving transition-aged youth, just get out of her way. We've been so fortunate to stand beside her in so many of those things, but she's the one that's going to come through the door and make sure that the right message is heard to support students and educators and families. And I think like she is an advocate, wholehearted advocate for a transition.
So Sarah, you and I are both Transition Network facilitators.
Yes, we are.
That job was created to address the Lane versus Brown lawsuit.
That's true. There came a time when, due to that lawsuit, there are some changes that needed to be made across the state of Oregon. So Sally, along with Heather Lindsay and some other folks from ODE, took that charge and went out across the state of Oregon to try to make a difference, to try to take what is a very difficult situation and craft a plan to make things right.
Yeah, that was really an exciting time in the fact that we got to design something that was going to help students across Oregon. It was a time where there was turmoil because we had the lawsuit against sheltered workshops. We also had the executive order where it said we all needed to play well together as agencies and do a better job of aligning our transition services. I was a part of the National Transition Technical Assistance Network, which is intact for transition. And we go to a national conference in North Carolina. And I went with my director and we sat and said, we need someone at the Department of Ed to be a liaison. We need people in regions to be doing this work. We need to consider it as a network of people to share the news about the executive order, help people understand that we should not be sending kids straight from school into sheltered workshops, that students should have the employment skills that we say we're going to prepare them with in place when they leave our school system and be able to use it in community. So it was really exciting because we hired the liaison, which was Heather Lindsay at the time. And then we hired our transition network facilitators. There were 8 of them across Oregon. They were 0.5, which at the time was a crazy thing to think about them doing that kind of work at a 0.5 level.
I would like to reflect on the time when Heather and Sally brought the initial TNF team together in Salem. It was something where we came in not sure exactly what our role was going to be. When I applied and was given this position through my ESD, I guess around 9 years ago, and we went down to Chemeketa. We came into the room and they had these huge, huge binders. And there was Heather and Sally. That's the first time I met Sally. She was very confident, and Heather and Sally were excited to share this with us. And we had 2 days of being introduced to all the different agencies. They came in and there were dividers in our binder, and they would come and just, you know, we drank through the fire hose for 2 days. I remember Heather and Sally saying, as we wheeled out our little wheelie boxes with all of our curriculum and our big binders, and they said, are they going to quit? Are we going to hear, like, did we blow them away and they're never going to want to come back? And when I think about the history of transition, that I think that was a turning point. It was an intersection where we made a difference in turning a corner and going towards empowering our teachers in a different way and networking with our county agencies. They led the charge. They led us, and they went out first in front of us, and it's been pretty awesome.
So when I was first hired at the Department of Education, the executive order had a specific line item that was written to develop a training across the state. And it was a very specific training that had a directive of training 800 educators in the summer. Which, if you think about the summer, that's a very difficult time to bring in educators. We had to think really creatively. And so what we did is created something called the Educator Institute. And it was a full-day training that we kicked off across the state. And we provided that training in the last 2 weeks, or actually last 3 weeks of June. We traveled across the state and provided those trainings in 8 different regions. And at the end of the first Educator Institute in 2014, I actually calculated all the miles that we traveled, and it was 2,600 miles in those 3 weeks. And we were on the road for 16 days. I was also calculating some of our Starbucks visits. We went to Starbucks 12 times. We unloaded a minivan 8 times. And we also broke 3 tote boxes. I think we also went to Dutch Brothers maybe another 7 or 8 times. It's a long 3 weeks on the road together, but it was great. I think what we talked about often was raising expectations. We partnered a lot with FACT, and we met a lot of amazing educators along the way.
In fact, one attendee in Springfield, Oregon was one Josh Barber. And I remember doing an exercise where we were looking at somebody's present level. Some might call that an assessment to write post-secondary goals. And that might have been the first time that I made the connection between assessments and post-secondary goals. So it worked.
Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing, Josh.
So I wanted to state that when I first met Sally was when they were rolling out the mini educator institutes, and I was working for developmental disabilities, and they asked me to do the presentation on transition age youth. And I walked by and she looked at me and she said, do you know anybody who wants to be a TNF? And I said, what's a TNF? I haven't heard about that. She and Mitch talked to me about that. And she said there was a position opening in Douglas County. The way that she presented it to me felt just her presence made me feel worthy, or made me feel like I had something to offer, or just gave me a sense of belonging. I don't know, just a whole way of saying you would bring a lot to the team. So I just appreciated that just from an initial, like, I didn't had never really met her or anything. I had just done a presentation and walked by. I will never forget just the energy that she shared at that moment in time.
For the T10 has just grown since then. We've included, we just wrote a new MOU with VRDD Education and then the Commission for the Blind. At the national level, that's considered a super MOU to have all of those people included in that MOU and be able to work together to design transition programs for students. We're now doing that work together from a national level, our NTAC C group, down to our agency level. Everybody is working together to try to meet the goals that we've written for our state plan.
Next, we're going to hear from Heather Lindsay and Keith Ozels, our partners at Vocational Rehabilitation, and they are going to share a little bit about some lessons learned from Sally.
We had educators talk about how do we write education goals or how do we make the connection of work experience in freshman year, sophomore year. And the fun thing that I always saw in Sally is she would beam when people would talk about that. She would always talk about employment can begin at kindergarten, and you should always talk about work experience and the expectation that work should be in conversation with your son or daughter early. And that always resonated with me. I always loved the passion that Sally had around transition services, or when she would talk about her experience as an educator and an administrator.
I think one of the things that I learned from Sally is how to listen and really listen to the request behind concerns that are raised, and her ability to sit in moments of discomfort and being able to hear somebody's concern and not take it as a criticism of her as a representative of education or of employment first teams or of other places that she was there to represent and support. It was her ability to sit, hear a concern, and then be able to draw out what would be the ideal solution to it and have that person be the one who's helping lead the change. She wasn't tricking people into finding a solution. She was helping lead them by their own desire for a better future, by helping them be able to express their concern, express their frustration, but then move beyond that and have a tough conversation with people to really get them to think about what could the potential be. And Sally is just very gifted at being able to tie together experiences from around the state and not say that they're doing it better in one place or another, but be able to demonstrate that other places have been able to find solutions when there's willing partnership and willing ability to sort of be that solution-oriented team.
As we are now in the reality that Sally Simich has retired, we asked Sally what she wanted her legacy to be.
I think about things like that where, you know, I hope that we're listening to students. I hope we're taking the time to do assessments to help understand their preference and interests and where their strengths lie, and then maybe what is it that they would need to build the skills so they could do what they want to do in community when they leave school services. I think sometimes we pigeonhole people into places that they're not comfortable and they aren't successful. And none of us would be. If we don't enjoy what we do, probably not stay where we've been put. I would love to say that I help open up the doors that students that want to work be able to work in our community and be contributing members after they leave school.
I think back to Oregon being one of these states that was one of the first to make this move toward competitive integrated employment, and just all of Sally's work creating the support structure to make that a reality. I think as I talk to other people working in other states, those other states, I just see a lot of them taking on some of the ideas we've started here in Oregon with Sally.
We wanted to express gratitude and thanks to Sally for how many doors she's opened for so many in the state of Oregon. She opened lots of doors for students so that they could find ways to make their dreams come true. And she's opened lots of doors for those on her team those that have worked with and for her as well.
I've been a Transition Network facilitator for 7 years, and I feel that I have been very fortunate to work with Sally Simich. I have learned a lot from her. And as I'm working with schools, I always think, what would Sally say in this situation? Usually when I remember to think that, I feel like I wind up saying the right thing.
I agree. It is. What would Sally say? I think that's a mantra I will hold on to even when she's no longer working with us.
Thank you for listening to the Oregon Transition Podcast. We are glad we are back.
Very glad to be back.
And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Sally was always happy to pick you up mentally, physically, get you where you needed to go, and keep you safe.